A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been staring at noisy sensor graphs and wants to know what's actually happening when you flip that logarithmic scale toggle. His question gets at something specific. When you've got data that changes constantly, but in tiny, meaningless blips, like a temperature sensor or a biological monitor, how do you cut through the noise to see the actual trend? He wants to know what a log scale is, how it smooths data, the real-world use cases, where it fails, and when you should absolutely not use it.
And this is one of those tools where the name sounds intimidating, but the idea underneath is surprisingly straightforward. The log scale isn't doing what most people think it's doing.
What do most people think it's doing?
They think it's smoothing the data, like a moving average, like it's averaging out the bumps. It's not. It's changing the ruler you're measuring with. That's a completely different thing, and the distinction matters for every decision Daniel's asking about.
So let's start with the ruler. What actually is a logarithmic scale?
On a linear scale, each step along the axis adds the same amount. 1, 2, 3, 4. You're adding 1 each time. On a logarithmic scale, each step multiplies by the same amount. 1, 10, 100, 1,000. You're multiplying by 10 each step. The Math is Fun definition puts it cleanly. A logarithmic scale is one where moving a fixed distance multiplies the value. Same distance on the graph, completely different meaning.
So the physical space between 1 and 10 on the axis is the same as the space between 10 and 100.
Exactly right. And that's the core insight. A linear scale treats a 1-degree change the same whether you're at 20 degrees or 40 degrees. A log scale treats a 10% change the same regardless of where you are. Going from 20 to 22 is a 10% bump. Going from 40 to 44 is also 10%. On a log scale, those two jumps look identical on the graph. On a linear scale, the 40 to 44 jump looks twice as big because it's 2 degrees instead of 1.
Which is correct if what you care about is relative change.
Right. And that's the whole question Daniel's really asking. When do you care about relative change versus absolute change? For a lot of sensor data, relative change is the signal and absolute change is the noise, or the other way around. Pick wrong and you're looking at a distorted picture.
So walk me through the smoothing part. Daniel's got a sensor that's bouncing around. How does changing the ruler help him see the trend?
The mechanism is called variance stabilization, and this is where it gets genuinely interesting. In a lot of biological and environmental sensors, the measurement error scales with the measurement itself. If you're measuring light intensity at 10 lux, your sensor might be off by half a lux. At 100,000 lux, it might be off by 5,000 lux. The absolute error grows with the reading, but the relative error, the coefficient of variation, stays roughly constant.
So the noise gets louder as the signal gets louder.
That's the phrase, proportional noise. And on a linear scale, that's a mess. The data fans out, the variance explodes at the high end, and any trend line you try to fit gets yanked around by the noisy high readings. But when you apply a log transform, that proportional noise becomes additive noise. The variance becomes constant across the whole range. Suddenly, your standard deviation means the same thing at the top of the graph as it does at the bottom.
And that's the prerequisite for a lot of statistical tools to work properly.
Most of them, honestly. Regression, ANOVA, a lot of the standard tests assume constant variance. If your variance is all over the place, those tests give you garbage. The log transform makes the data play nice with the math.
So give me a concrete example. Something someone would actually see in Home Assistant.
Greenhouse temperature sensor. Let's say it's reading between 15 and 35 degrees Celsius over the course of a day, and the HVAC system cycles on and off, causing these little 0.3 degree blips every few minutes. On a linear scale, those blips look dramatic, sharp little saw teeth all over your graph. They're not meaningful, they're just the air conditioner doing its job, but visually they dominate. You can't see the diurnal curve underneath.
The forest and the trees problem.
And the trees are the same size everywhere on a linear graph. A 0.3 degree blip at 15 degrees looks exactly like a 0.3 degree blip at 35 degrees. But flip to a log scale and those blips compress at the high end. A 0.3 degree change at 35 degrees is less than 1% of the reading. At 15 degrees, it's 2%. The log scale shows you that the high-end noise is proportionally smaller, and the smooth diurnal trend, the actual signal, rises out of the chatter.
So the log scale didn't smooth anything. It just revealed that the noise wasn't as noisy as it looked.
That's the whole thing. It changed the question from how many degrees did it move to what fraction of the current reading did it move. If the answer is consistently tiny, the graph stops looking scary.
What about sensors that span multiple orders of magnitude? That's the classic use case, right?
The poster child. Light sensors are the best example. A typical lux sensor in a smart home might read 10 lux in a dim room and 100,000 lux in direct sunlight. On a linear scale, everything below about 5,000 lux is a flat line at the bottom. You literally can't see indoor lighting behavior because the outdoor readings stretch the axis so far. On a log scale, 10 lux and 100,000 lux are four orders of magnitude apart, and each order gets equal visual real estate. You can see the lights turning on, the curtains opening, the sun moving across the sky, all on the same graph.
Same thing with energy monitors. 5 watts at idle, 3,000 watts when the oven kicks on.
Three orders of magnitude, and the idle baseline is just invisible on a linear plot. You'd think the house was drawing zero power for 23 hours a day. The log scale shows you both the baseline and the spikes without one eating the other.
So that's the use case. Wide-ranging data where relative change matters. But you mentioned the math underneath. What's actually happening when you take the log of the data?
The log transform turns multiplicative relationships into additive ones. If your data follows a power law, y equals a times x to the b, taking the log of both sides gives you log y equals log a plus b times log x. That's a straight line. So if you plot on log-log axes and see a straight line, you know there's a power law relationship underneath. That's enormously useful for figuring out what's actually driving the system.
And for most people just trying to read a sensor graph, the practical implication is that trend lines become more interpretable.
Because the math behind most trend-fitting algorithms assumes linear relationships. If your data is actually exponential or power law, fitting a straight line to the raw numbers gives you nonsense. Fit it to the log transform data and suddenly the line means something.
But log scales have sharp edges. Let's talk about when they break.
Failure mode number one, and it's an absolute showstopper, you can't take the log of zero. It's undefined. The limit as x approaches zero is negative infinity. If your sensor ever reads zero, a power meter when nothing's drawing current, a motion sensor with no events, a rainfall gauge on a dry day, the log scale simply doesn't work. The graph breaks.
And that's not a theoretical edge case. That's every power meter in every Home Assistant instance at 3 in the morning.
Every single one. And people hit this all the time. They flip the log toggle, their graph disappears, and they don't know why. It's because somewhere in that data stream there's a zero and the math can't handle it.
There's a workaround, right? At a small constant?
Log of x plus 1 is the standard trick. It shifts all the zeros to, well, log of 1 is 0, so your zeros become zeros on the log scale too. Problem solved, sort of. But it distorts the low end. If your data lives mostly between 0 and 10, adding 1 is a huge distortion. You've shifted the whole distribution. If your data is in the thousands, adding 1 is negligible. The constant matters, and picking it wrong introduces artifacts.
So it's a patch, not a fix.
It's a patch that works when the constant is small relative to your data. When it's not, you're inventing structure that isn't there. And that brings us to failure pattern 2, misleading visual compression.
This is the one where a 5-degree rise at 40 degrees looks the same as a 5-degree rise at 20 degrees.
And if you're monitoring for safety, say you've got a server room that should never hit 45 degrees, that's catastrophic. A 5-degree jump from 40 to 45 is an emergency. A 5-degree jump from 20 to 25 is Tuesday. On a log scale, they look identical. The graph is telling you same relative change, nothing to see here while your equipment is cooking.
So the log scale hides absolute danger.
It hides absolute magnitude, period. If your decision threshold is an absolute number, alert. If temperature exceeds 40 degrees, a log scale is actively working against you. It's compressing the part of the graph where the alert lives.
What's failure pattern 3?
Oversmoothing, or more precisely, destroying the signal you're trying to find. Think about heart rate variability. The whole point of HRV analysis is those tiny beat-to-beat variations, differences of a few milliseconds between heartbeats. That's the signal. That's what tells you about autonomic nervous system function, stress, recovery. Apply a log scale and you compress those tiny variations into invisibility. You've just smoothed away the entire thing you were trying to measure.
So the question isn't, is there noise? It's which part is the noise and which part is the signal?
And that's a judgment call every time. The log scale doesn't know what you care about. It just applies the same mathematical transformation to everything. If your signal lives in the small absolute changes and your noise lives in the large ones, congratulations. You just amplified the noise and killed the signal.
When should you absolutely not use a log scale? Give me the checklist.
4 hard stops. 1. Your data contains zeros or negatives. Log of 0 is undefined, log of a negative number is imaginary, and your graphing library isn't going to render complex numbers for you. 2. Absolute differences matter more than relative ones. Safety thresholds, medical dosing, anything where the number itself is the decision point, stick with linear.
3.
Your data range is narrow. If your temperature sensor reads between 20 and 25 degrees all year, a log scale adds mathematical complexity for zero benefit. The compression across half an order of magnitude is negligible. You're just making the graph harder to read for no reason.
And 4.
Your audience doesn't know how to read log scales, and this one is underrated. Most people don't intuitively understand that the distance between 1 and 2 is the same as the distance between 10 and 20 on a log scale. They'll look at a log scale graph and misread the magnitude of changes. If you're building a dashboard for other people, family members, colleagues, clients, and they haven't been trained on log scales, you're communicating badly. The best analysis in the world is useless if the person making the decision misreads the graph.
There's a knock-on effect you mentioned earlier that I want to come back to. Moving averages on log transform data.
This one bites people who combine techniques without thinking through the math. If you take the log of your data, apply a moving average, and then exponentiate back to the original scale, you haven't computed an arithmetic mean. You've computed a geometric mean.
Which is always lower than the arithmetic mean.
Always. For positive numbers, the geometric mean is less than or equal to the arithmetic mean. So if someone's looking at that smooth line and thinking it represents the average value over time, they're wrong. It represents something else, the central tendency of the multiplicative changes. That might be what you want, but you have to know that's what you're getting.
The order of operations matters enormously. Smooth then log is different from log then smooth.
Completely different. And most people just click buttons in a dashboard and don't think about what order the operations are applied in. Home Assistant doesn't necessarily make this transparent.
Let's talk about when the log scale actually is the right call. You mentioned positively skewed data.
That's the textbook case. If your data has a long right tail, most values clustered at the low end, with a few enormous outliers, a log transform can pull that tail in and make the distribution roughly symmetric. Income data, city populations, website traffic, energy consumption, all classically log normal. The analytics video piece frames it well. Log transforms handle skewed data and make patterns interpretable, especially across multiple orders of magnitude.
The statistics how-to guidance adds 2 more conditions. When you want to model multiplicative relationships, or when variance increases with the mean.
Which is exactly the variance stabilization we talked about. If your scatter plot fans out to the right, if the spread gets wider as the values get larger, log transform is the first thing you should try. It's not guaranteed to work, but it's the obvious starting point.
For Daniel's practical question, he's looking at a sensor graph. It's noisy. He wants to see the trend. What's his decision process?
Step 1. Does the data span multiple orders of magnitude? If yes, strongly consider log scale. Step 2. Do you care about relative change more than absolute change? If you're tracking percentage deviation from a baseline, log scale is your friend. If you're tracking whether a number crossed a fixed threshold, stick with linear. Step 3. Does the data contain zeros or negatives? If yes, stop. Don't use log scale without a transformation. And even then, know what the transformation is doing to your low end.
Step 4.
Try it and compare. In Home Assistant, you can toggle the log scale option on any graph. Flip it on, flip it off. Does the trend line become clearer? Does the noise compress? Or does the graph become harder to read? Does it hide features you care about? Your eyes will tell you more in 5 seconds than any checklist.
Then combine it with other techniques if you need to.
That's the pro move. Log scale handles variance stabilization. It makes the noise behave consistently across the range. Then a moving average or LOESS smoothing handles the temporal noise, the minute-to-minute jitter. The two techniques are solving different problems. Log scale changes the ruler, smoothing averages over time. They don't replace each other, they complement each other.
LOSS being locally estimated scatterplot smoothing.
A fancy moving average that fits little local regressions instead of a flat window. It adapts to the shape of the data. Combined with a log transform, it's incredibly powerful for teasing out trends from noisy sensor streams. But now we're 2 layers deep in transformations, and the interpretability question gets real.
At some point, you're just looking at a mathematical artifact, not your actual data.
That's the tension. Every transformation you apply takes you further from the raw measurement. Sometimes that's exactly what you want. The raw measurement is noise with a whisper of signal buried underneath. Sometimes you're building a beautiful visualization of nothing. The log scale is a lens, not a truth machine.
That's the line that sticks. It's a lens. Choose the lens that reveals the pattern you need to see.
Know what the lens is doing to the image. A wide-angle lens and a macro lens show you different things. Neither is wrong. But if you don't know which one you're looking through, you'll misjudge the distance.
What about other transforms? Daniel asked specifically about log scales, but there's a whole family of these things.
Box. Cox is the big one. It's a family of power transformations that includes the log as a special case. You can tune a parameter lambda to find the transform that best stabilizes variance and normalizes your data. Square root is another, weaker than log, handles zeros natively since square root of zero is zero. Cube root handles negatives. There's a whole toolkit.
Machine learning approaches to denoising are getting better.
Autoencoders, Kalman filters, Gaussian processes. These can learn the noise structure from the data itself and separate signal from noise without you having to choose a transform manually. But they're black boxes in a way that a log scale isn't. With a log scale, you can explain exactly what it did and why. With a trained model, you're trusting that it learned the right thing.
Which brings us back to the audience problem. If you can't explain what the graph is showing, the graph isn't doing its job.
The fundamental purpose of a visualization is communication, not analysis, communication. The analysis happens in your head or in your code. The graph is there to tell a story to someone. And if that someone doesn't understand the axes, the story is lost.
For the Home Assistant user who just wants cleaner graphs, the practical takeaway is pretty straightforward. Try the log toggle. If it helps, keep it. If it doesn't, turn it off. But now you know what it's actually doing under the hood.
You know when it's lying to you. That's the part that matters. A log scale that hides a dangerous temperature rise is worse than no log scale at all. The tool isn't good or bad. It's appropriate or inappropriate for the question you're asking.
One thing we haven't touched on. What about dual-axis approaches? Linear on one side, log on the other.
It's an option, but it's visually tricky. You're asking the viewer to track 2 different rulers simultaneously. For a technical audience, it can work. For a general dashboard, it's usually more confusing than helpful. Better to pick one scale and annotate clearly.
Or show 2 graphs.
2 graphs side by side, one linear, one log, is almost always clearer than trying to cram both scales onto one plot. Dashboard real estate is cheap. Cognitive load is expensive.
Daniel's original question had a nice phrase in it. Minute and non-significant ways. The log scale helps when the changes are minute relative to the baseline, but not when they're minute in absolute terms. That distinction is the whole episode.
A 0.3 degree blip at 35 degrees is minute in relative terms. A 5-millisecond heartbeat variation is minute in absolute terms. The log scale helps with the first and destroys the second. Knowing which kind of minute you're dealing with is the entire decision.
The framework Daniel walks away with is, check your data range. check for zeros. Decide whether you care about relative or absolute change. Try the toggle, trust your eyes, and combine with temporal smoothing if you need both kinds of noise reduction.
If you're publishing the graph for others, label your axes clearly and make sure they know it's a log scale. Nothing undermines good analysis faster than a misinterpreted visualization.
The next frontier here is interesting, though. As Home Assistant and other platforms add more sophisticated analytics, the question becomes whether simple axis scaling is enough, or whether we need built-in denoising pipelines that handle all of this automatically.
I think we're heading toward a world where the platform detects the characteristics of your data and suggests the appropriate scale. This sensor spans three orders of magnitude and has proportional noise. Consider log scale. That's not science fiction, that's a few lines of heuristics. The hard part is knowing when to override the suggestion.
Which requires understanding what the suggestion is doing, which is why we just spent 20 minutes on log scales.
The fundamentals don't go obsolete. The tools get fancier, but the math underneath is the same math.
If you've got a weird prompt for us, something about data, sensors, or the hidden math in your smart home, send it to prompts@myweirdprompts.com. We read everyone.
This has been My Weird Prompts, with thanks as always to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop.
Find us at myweirdprompts.com. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.